Good morning, church. It's good to have you all here today. We're grateful and thankful, and as we celebrate this Mother's Day, that is always an exciting thing as well. And so we're not going to ask you this morning how you identify, but on the way out afterwards, if you are a lady, you can grab yourself some candies out there. I think there's most of them are chocolate of some nature. There are some that aren't. But if you're here and would like to help yourself to that afterwards, that would be great. So I come upon this cartoon, and it was a mother that was at the doctor's office, and she's talking to the doctor. And the doctor says, "So I see that you're stressed, that you're overwhelmed, that you have a lot going on." And she's like, yeah, I do. And he goes, "Well, let's take a look." And he's like, "I see you spend 50% of your time and energy on your husband, 50% on your children, 50% on your job, 50% on your work at the church, 50% in the, I think I see your problem." Right? We just don't have that many 50%s in our life. And sometimes, so there's no person that probably deserves a more special day to honor, to have themselves be honored than that of our mothers. And so we're so grateful for each and every one of them. And as was shared during an earlier prayer, and especially if they are Christian mothers, we are so grateful and thankful of that. We're going to be in the book of Psalms 139 this morning. Psalms chapter 139, verses 13 through 16. If you're following along in your Bible, if not, it'll be here on the screen. So Psalms 139, verses 13 through 16. "For you formed my inward parts. You wove me in my mother's womb. I will give thanks to you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Wonderful are your works, and my soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the depths of the earth. Your eyes have seen my unformed substance. In your book were all the written days that were ordained for me when as yet there was not one of them." In other words, you may think that your mother knows you well, but our Father which art in heaven knows us even better. And that's what we want to look at and focus on here this morning. And as we look at these things, we're going to look at a list of a few things where I'm going to say we are or we are. And what I mean by that is we all. Okay? And when I say that, I'm talking to everybody that's here that was born from their mama. So that pretty much covers. Oh, there's a few of you I think are hatched. But most of you here are born from your mama, right? And so as we look at that, we want to remember those things. Solomon says that we need not to forsake our mother's teaching. And boy, oh boy, can we just stop for a moment and reflect on some of the things our mothers have taught us through our life? My mother taught me about planning ahead or foresight. She used to say, "Now, you want to make sure you always put on clean underwear in case you're in an accident." I always thought an accident was, well, getting rid of the clean underwear. You know what I mean? Things like that. She taught me about religion. She said, "You better pray that stain comes out of the carpet." Right? Or she'd say, teach me about love, you know, and say, "There's your sisters, give them a hug and a kiss and tell them you love them." Well, you all know how that works, right? Or she'd teach me about the weather. She'd say, "I looked at your room and it looks like a tornado went through there." Or she'd teach me about patience. She'd say, "You just better wait until your father gets home." Oh my goodness, you didn't like that one, right? So we learned all kinds of things from our moms, right? And so what we're going to do this morning is we're going to look in Scripture and look at these passages that have been shared with us. And as we said, that when we say we are, then it's all of us. We're all there. We all have those things that we've learned and things that we need to understand. And hopefully these are things that have been taught and shared with you through your life. And whether you're young or old, you never are too late to start learning the principles of God and His Word and how He wants to share those things with us. And so we're going to be looking here, and I wanted to use in our thankfulness, in our ways of honoring our mothers. There's a line in a song I learned years ago by the Christian music artist Toby Mac that uses the line, "Shake it, but don't break it. It took your mama 9 months to make it." All right? And so as we look at that, it's to learn and to respect those things that our mother has taught us. As we look into the Bible this morning, we're going to hopefully remember things that we all have learned. And hopefully we'll continue to learn and share those as we move forward. The first one this morning is that we are made in the image of God. Amen. We are made in the image of God. Just go back in that Psalms text that we read at the beginning, in several of the texts that we're going to be looking at today. And you know, one of the big phrases, especially during the COVID thing, did you see on Thursday, I believe it was, that Indiana was released from all the COVID regulations? Yeah, everyone give us a round of applause for that, right? Yeah. Anyway... one of the phrases that we've learned through that, or at least continued brought to our mind, was follow the science, right? Now, if they just actually follow the science means fact. And if they just actually follow the facts, read God's Bible, read God's book on the science of the child in the womb. And notice I said the child, okay? The child in the womb, and yes, I understand where we get our word fetus from the Greek, and that actually means child. And so, yes, I understand that. And so as we look at that, but we are made in the image of God. Now, I know what you're thinking. You look up here, and I'm looking out there, and we're like, Lord have mercy, I hope he doesn't look like you. But that it's not talking that we look, it's our image. It's our character. It's the qualities that we have that are from God, that we are made in His image, right? There's no doubt. You see a little boy and you'll be like, there, oh my goodness, he looks just like his dad. Or you'll see a little girl and you'll say, well, there's no doubt who her mother is. And we see that. And so is that the same way that when people look at us in the world and they'll say, boy, you can tell who his father is, spiritually speaking? There was no doubt that when 2,000 years ago, when they looked at Jesus, there was something they saw that was different. They saw the image of his father in him. And I'm not talking about Joseph. Talking about his heavenly father. He was created. We're created and then procreated in the image. We're made in the image of God. And so when we look at that, not just a viable tissue mass that can be put out into a dumpster because the woman doesn't want that growing inside of her. That's not what we're talking about. In the image of God, the all-powerful, the almighty creator, we were made in his image. Genesis 1:27 says, God created man in his own image. And in the image of God, he created him. Uh-oh. Male and female, he created them. Amen. Follow the science. Follow the science. See what God is saying there. We are made in his image. Now, as we said before, boy, you can tell who, you know, or maybe it's this, you know, boy, that little one acts just like his dad used to. Oh, no. You know, those can be compliments, or they can maybe not be. They could just be facts, right? And so as we look at that, when the world looks at us, can they tell that we are made in the image of God? Do we do our best to look like the world? Or do we do our best to look like our Father, which art in heaven? Those are some things that we need to learn and to consider. We have also been trained to trust. We've been trained to trust. Back a couple weeks ago, Mr. Burton did chapel service, and he had one of the young boys, actually had Asher, because he wasn't sure how the senior boys were going to do this and handle it. But he had Asher stand on the stage and just in faith lean back and fall off the stage, and the senior boys then caught him. Mr. Burton said he wanted to use his own son just in case the senior boys didn't come through, he wouldn't have a lawsuit on his hand. Just some explaining to do to Megan, you know. But we're trained to trust. And even from Scripture, we are taught by the children that Jesus himself looks at them and says, this is the way you need to be. People, this is what you need to be like. You need to be like these children. You come to him with a childlike faith. They're telling the kids to get away, and Jesus says, let them come unto me. And we have that opportunity of learning, of being trained. Even Proverbs 22:6, a few verses before, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he'll not depart from this. But we use our mother's training, our mother's teaching is actually there for us so that when we get older, we learn how to trust in the Lord. Our mothers train us that way. Our fathers train us that way, not just to trust them, but ultimately to build our faith in such a way that we learn to trust the Lord. Again, follow the science. Trust the Lord. Lean not on your own understanding, but follow His will for our life. And so as we look at that, it's a reminder to us, Psalm 22, 9 and 10 says, yet you are he who brought me forth from the womb. You made me trust when upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from birth. You have been my God from my mother's womb. And we have to learn to trust and to do that. And that whole, we quoted Proverbs 22:6 a little while ago. That whole idea of training goes back to the idea of breastfeeding, of being able to, as the terminology is, to latch on, to be able to have it so that those that don't swallow, you learn to make them swallow. It's a trust thing. Consider the trust and the faith that has come and been brought to us through our mothers. Ultimately, that is all done so that we will put our ultimate faith in the Lord and make Him our Savior as well. Thirdly, we want to see that we are set apart. We are set apart. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5 says, "Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. And before you were born, I consecrated you. I have appointed you a prophet to the nations." Now, this is God speaking specifically to Jeremiah about being a prophet to the nations. But you know, God knew you the moment you were conceived and created. He knows you before you were born. And in reality, we have all been consecrated. We've all been set apart. We've all been put here to be made holy, because we are made in His image, and His number one characteristic is holiness, and we are set apart to be that. Now, we know that we're all special to our mothers, right? Some of us are a little more special than others. I can honestly say that I am my mother's favorite son. I told my sisters, not be mad at me. So I speak the truth. And so as we look at that, are we special to our Maker? I think we sang about that this morning. What a wonderful Maker. One that watches over, takes care of us, provides for us. Jesus Himself compares the way the Lord takes care of us better, that we are arrayed better than Solomon in all his glory was, that we're taken care of better than the birds are taken care of. We are special to our Maker. And He has asked for us to do special things, that's for sure. But I can honestly say that to no one here, as He said, build an ark. To no one here has He said, slay a giant. To no one here has He said, save the world. But He does have a special job for you. He does have a special job for me. He has a special job for each one of us. And when we do that job, whether it was building the ark, whether it was slaying the giant, whether it was saving the world, and we know those weren't for us, those were for other people, but they gave it their all. Would we agree? Do you think that Noah said, you know, I'm not going to put pitch on the outside and on the inside, we're just going to use this Flex Seal. That should work. No, he didn't. He did what God told him to do. The Lord had trained David so that when it come to slaying the giant, all he had to do was what he'd been doing before. And Jesus, from the foundations of the world, had said, you need a Savior? I'll do it. They all gave it their all, right? How many times as parents do we tell our kids, you know, that if they win or lose, that doesn't matter. It's, did you give it your all? Did you give it your best effort? Right? Did you do the best that you could? It's reminded of something that was said during our spring revival with Brother Jim Book that was here. Brooklyn Cooper and myself were actually talking about this a couple weeks ago after school one day. Isn't it funny how, you know, we go through life and maybe we're asked to do something by the elders. Or maybe we're asked to do something by the preacher. What if your mother asked you to do something? Right? And this is the part that we were talking about that Jim had mentioned during his sermon was, you know, it may be hard to do something at times for the elders or for the preacher or for your mother. But would you do it for Jesus? Everybody take your head and go like this. Because I hope you're sold out. You're sold out for Jesus. If he asks you to do something, will you do it? We may not do it for everybody. We may not do it for anybody. But will you do it for Jesus? And Jesus has asked that when we live for him, as he died for us, that we don't mess around, that we give it our all. What is going to be the sad, tragic thing, I believe, is those Christians or those people that go to hell for all eternity because they didn't give it their all. Can we honestly say, well, Jesus, you never gave your all? No, we can't. He gave up everything for us. So will you do it for Jesus? Do what? Whatever it takes. Don't look at it as the elders asking you or the preacher asking you or a friend asking you or even your mama. Will you do it for Jesus? And then coming to our last point this morning, realizing that we're all here for one reason. We're here to give God glory. That's why we've been created. To give God glory of our own free will. He could have created robots that would praise alleluia him all day long. But he didn't. He wants for us to praise him and mean it. The human race is in existence for us to praise him, to praise God, to praise the Lord. Amen? That's what we're here for. That's why we're here today, as we met around the Lord's table, to praise him for all that he has given us. You know, and he's given us so much. He's given us salvation. In many cases, the spouse that we have, as we follow that down the line, the family that we have. And I believe that this text in 1 Chronicles 16, 28 and 29 says, "Ascribe to the Lord, O families of the peoples. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in holy array." And I think that as we see that, and we take a look at this verse and we apply it to the context in which we are discussing here today, we're not talking about whether or not you are dressed to the nines. When the Lord talks about our holy array, it is the things that come forth from us. What is the greatest thing that comes forth from you as human beings here today? Your children. He has given us salvation. He has given us our families. He has given us our children. And when we present them to him in holy array, that is the ultimate thing that we can do to give God the glory that he so rightfully deserves. Yes, I need to do that. I need to praise the Lord. I need to honor him. I need to give him everything that is due him. However, church, children, as we are that offering, live our lives in such a way that it gives God the glory that he so rightfully deserves. As we bring this lesson to a close, we're told that perhaps by Solomon, in Proverbs, that the woman that fears God is great. Proverbs 31:30. Charm is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord, she shall be praised for what she's done. That she shall be great. I don't think this goes just for women today. I think this goes for men, women, all Christians, that when we fear God and put Him where He needs to be in our life, and in the holy array of the families that we are given, it'll help for each and every one of us, all of us here today, to walk in the fear and in the faith of the Lord as He so desires for us to do. If you're here this morning and you're outside of Jesus Christ, we pray that today would be your day of salvation. Now, this might be a bonus, but if you decide to become a Christian today, that's something that your mama will remember for the rest of her life, that you became a Christian on Mother's Day. All right? But as good and great as that sounds, that's not why we do it. Okay? We do it because Jesus Christ has died for our sins. Because we want to be pleasing to the Father just as the Son was pleasing to the Father. That we need to believe in Jesus Christ. That He's not just a good guy, He's not just a great prophet, that He is the only begotten Son of God. That we're willing to repent of our sin. That we're willing to confess Him as Lord. That we are willing to be immersed into Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of our sins. And then we will do our best to live a faithful life, all for His glory. Today, right now, could be your day of salvation. If you're here and you're outside of Jesus Christ, please contemplate these things. At least think about them. Know what needs to be done. Count the cost. But we urgently and lovingly ask you, why not come to Jesus now? Why not do it now? Why wait? Come to Him before it's eternally too late. Will you stand with us as they lead us in our song of invitation?